we present Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Seppel, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glenn Jones. Episode 13, Counsel for the Prosecution, featuring this week's special guests Andrew Cruikshank and Roy Kinnear.
I'm just off to Birmingham. I'll see you at the Old Bailey tomorrow, eh?
That's all right, Rhymes. I must say I'm looking forward to your dealing with this particular defendant.
Ah, you've studied your brief, have you, my dear fellow? It's a bad case. There you are. Elderly gentlemen will do these things. They will do these things.
I feel terribly sorry for him.
Well, I'm sorry for him too, my dear fellow. Nice, vague old clergyman. No knowledge of the world at all. And what happens? He decides to spend the whole of his Easter offering buying himself a car. Yes. First car he's ever bought. Hasn't enough for a new car, so where does he go? Like a sacrificial lamb, he wanders into a second-hand car market.
Yes. Oh, doesn't he even take anybody with him?
No, no, no. Listens to the honeyed word dripping from the car dealer's lips. Tempting, beckoning words like almost showroom condition, completely reconditioned engine. Well, forthwith pressures his hard-earned bag of pennies into the defendant's hot little hand, the ignition key, and the logbook.
9 previous owners.
Over to him, and the car dealer, waving a brotherly farewell, the trusting parson climbs into his vehicle and speeds towards his parish.
Sped about a mile and a half, didn't he, before the sump fell off?
Well, give or take 100 yards, yes. Well, here it is. I'll do all I can, but whether I can get any change out of him, I don't know. Anyway, you be at the Bailey in the morning, and we'll hope for the best.
Yeah. Who's the case in front of?
Oh, it's the recorder. Charming fella. Most courteous and helpful.
You sure you'll be back in time?
Oh, my dear fella. If I leave Birmingham at 8 tomorrow morning, I'll get him to give me a call at 7. Takes no time down the M1. No time at all. Even have time for a coffee before the case.
I think, Grimes, have you a moment? I can... are you leaving?
Yes, just off to Birmingham, my dear fellow. Late already. In trouble, are you?
Well, I'm at the Bailey tomorrow with an embezzlement. And I just heard who I'm in front of. Mr. Justice Duncannon.
Oh, what bad luck. My heartfelt sympathy, my dear fellow.
Well, what shall I do?
Well, you better get a good night's rest. That's the best advice. You sleep well tonight. I doubt you sleep much tomorrow night. After it,
what?
Nightmares. I've seen Mr. Justice Duncannon reduce a 6-foot QC with 4 war decorations to a trembling, twitching wreck.
Thank you for your reassurance.
Not at all, not at all. Well, I'm afraid I can't stop chatting anymore. I'm late. See you both in the morning. Good night, good night.
Well, that was a great help, wasn't it? Oh, isn't it a swine? My last case before I go on holiday and I copped Duncannon.
Bit of a tartar, is he?
Bit of a tartar? He makes Genghis Khan look like Godfrey Wynne. He eats young barristers for 11s.
A paradise of sun and blue sky. Are you listening, Roger?
What?
The Blucher. A paradise of sun and blue sky, still unspoiled by tourism, where long golden sands sweep down to the warm azure waters of the ageless Mediterranean. Doesn't that sound a heavenly place?
But you'd hardly expect the Blucher to knock it. I'm sorry, Sally, I don't fancy Spain. I don't fancy it a bit. I think I get on with the Spanish food. They do everything in oil, you know.
I'll do you in oil unless you show a bit more willing. Every suggestion I make, you pick holes in. You've got to have a holiday. You've been at the bar for how long now?
I complete my first 6 months tomorrow.
Exactly. And there's not been one day of that 6 months when you haven't been in a tiswas over something or other.
I hardly describe it as a tiswas. This is a very demanding profession. Not only is the competition fierce, but for some reason all my cases seem to have collapsible bottoms.
You are one of nature's worry guts, so you've got to take some time off and recharge.
Say, I tallied up my earnings. Do you know how much I've grossed in my first 6 months at the bar? £42.
In 6 months? You're joking.
I wish I was. That includes all fees for briefs, plus 2 opinions, plus a guinea I'm still owed for a conference I never had. At £42, it puts me in the 80 quid a year bracket.
Makes your earnings about £1.17 a week.
That's me.
You don't stay on these starvation rates.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? Depends how good you are. And I'm not much good.
Oh, come on. You look very distinguished in court. I think black suits you.
No, it's not how I look. It's how I behave in court. I don't know, there's something lacking in me. Still, after 6 months, one sharp look from a judge and I just dissolve.
Yes. You do, don't you, Roger? You know why? Well, my theory. I think it's a direct result of that very first case you were hauled in on, you remember?
Do I? I still wake up sweating.
That first judge was a monster. He just shredded you into small pieces, and the pieces have never been properly reassembled.
Oh, I can still hear that voice, that voice.
Sit down, Mr. Thursby, sit down. I'll have you removed by the usher.
Removed by the usher?
Mind you, you weren't.
No, I sat down. But all I wanted to do was to crawl into a hole and pull the hole in after me.
It was what they call a traumatic experience.
That's it.
What you need now is a confidence restorer, a return to the Old Bailey with the sort of case where you can really pull all the stops out and confound the judge and the jury and everybody.
Yeah, but my cases are never like that. Anything with a good bit of advocacy or some chance of real sort of cut and thrust cross-examination or anything like that, these sort of cases go to grind. He's got one tomorrow. Little beauty.
What's it about?
A poor old parson who's been gypped by a second-hand car dealer. Well, you know these second-hand car dealers are shrewd, quick-thinking, plausible. Imagine cross-examining one of them and coming out on top. Then you could feel you might have the makings of a barrister.
Who's that?
Oh, I imagine the ration lorry has got through. And, my mother bearing food parcels to save off my imminent starvation. Hello, Mother. Let me give you a hand with the parcels.
Hello, darling. Oh, hello, Sally.
Hello, Mrs. Thursby.
I always come on Monday evening and stock Roger up for the week. If I didn't, he wouldn't eat at all.
Good Lord, what's this?
A special cereal, dear. Making sure you get enough roughage this week.
Expect young barristers to eat proper meals on the money they earn. You are eating, aren't you, Roger? Oh, he looks a bit peaky.
Mother, don't pinch my cheek.
There's no flesh there at all. He had such a chubby face as a child. Now, you eat plenty of this. It's so good for you.
Lemon curd.
Oh.
Mother, I've still got 7 jars of it.
But you always used to love it so much.
Mother, I'll be absolutely truthful. I've gone off it. Right off it. I can't stand it now.
Oh, but you adored it.
I know, but now I loathe it. The mere smell of it gives me the heaves, honestly.
Well, I'll leave it. You never know. You might go back to it again. And there's some lovely fresh eggs here, darling. Brown ones. There's more goodness in brown eggs, you know, Sally.
Mother, you deliver these nutritional adjustments.
Everybody knows there is, Roger. So you have one a day. Not more, because that makes you...
Mother.
Dear, what's the matter?
The celery. I forget my own head next. I've forgotten the celery. Oh, I'm infuriating.
Mother, I can manage without celery for a few days. Oh, yeah, I can get through the week without it.
It's got iodine in it. Or is it iron? Well, anyway, whatever it is, your body needs it.
Well, I'll bring him some tomorrow. A posy of it. And I'll put these away, shall I?
Oh, thank you, dear. Oh, fancy forgetting the celery. It was right in front of me in the shop. It's my memory. I'm getting old, darling.
You ought to enjoy it, Mother. I wouldn't be able to manage a 4 flights with that load.
But you would if you had proper meals. My memory is definitely going. Can't remember things. I was thinking, come here. I've got something important on tomorrow that I must tell Roger about, but... Do you think I could remember what it was?
Well, don't worry about it, Mother. It probably wasn't that important.
Well, it was something that I knew would interest you.
Well, have a drink. Perhaps it'll bring you back.
Oh, that'd be nice, dear. What have you got?
Well, a sherry or not.
Sherry. Right. I wish I could remember what it was I had to tell you.
Yes, well, don't try too hard, Mother.
Why not?
Just in case you found a place that sold lemon curd in gallon drums. Now, here's the court, Sally. Now, you sit on an end seat so you can nip out smartly as soon as the case finishes.
Well, will I be able to see you clearly from an end seat?
There'll be nothing to see. I'm not doing anything. I'm just note-taking for Grimes.
Oh, is that Henry? Henry!
What's he doing here? He should be in court one.
Who says there isn't a Santa Claus?
What?
I've been de-duncannoned. My guardian angel has been working time and a half.
The case is up?
Yes. My embezzlement has got German measles. Case adjourned. No duncannon for Henry. Oh, I can go on holiday tomorrow with my soul unscarred.
Well, come in and watch old Grimes in action.
Why not? My time's my own now.
Mr. Thursby.
Hello. Alec looks in a bit of a stew.
Yes, Alec? Just had a phone call, sir. Mr. Grimes is stuck halfway down the M1.
Really? Then I'll have to conduct the case. Henry, perhaps it's my lucky day, too.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh.
No, you're just to ask the recorder for an adjournment. I've spoken to the defense counsel and he agreed.
Oh, all right.
Now, quick, sir, the recorder's waiting.
Right.
Times in court.
Yes, Mr. Thursby, I believe you have an application to make.
Thank you, my lord. In the case of Spicer, my lord, my learned friend Mr. Grimes appears for the prosecution and Mr. Hindmouth for the defendant.
What is your application, Mr. Thursby?
My lord, Mr. Grimes has unfortunately had a breakdown.
Oh, dear, I am. Well, he will work at that pressure. Will you give him my warmest wishes for a rapid recovery?
No. My lord, it's his car that's broken down. He's stuck up the M1.
Oh. wish you'd said so. No doubt he'll be here later. Do you feel able to carry on with the case until Mr. Grimes arrives?
Well, my lord, I have read the papers on it.
Good. Well, that's all right, then. Thank you, Mr. Thursday.
But my application...
is refused. The case will come on in due course. Thank you, Mr. Thursday.
Well, he's got his wish, Henry. He said he wanted to have a go at this case.
Yes, it could be very good for him, too. Not an easy one, but it's got opportunities.
How about that, eh? How about it? Turn up for the book, eh?
Now, you're not going to go to pieces, are you? Because this could be the case you need, the confidence restorer.
No, I'm all right, fine. I feel rather excited.
This is what?
Absolutely nil.
Well, I must say, you should have no trouble with the recorder. He's a nice, friendly old scout.
No. Ah, here's Alec.
Ready, Mr. Thursday?
Ready, willing, and I hope able. How long have I got to think?
Yeah, no time at all, sir. You're on right away.
Really? Oh, but the recorder's still in his first case.
Oh, yes, sir, but Mr. Justice Duncannon's got a hole in his list, so your case has been transferred to him.
Well, that's a pity, because I... Did you say Duncannon?
Yes, sir. Don't be long.
I'm in front of Duncannon. Hey, me, I'm in front of Duncannon.
How did that happen?
It might be termed a complication following German measles.
I can't do it. You said yourself, Henry, eat, young barrister. I can't. I'll make an excuse. I'll tell you my mother's fallen out the window. She's calling for me.
Together, there's nothing to get in a state about.
Listen to me, Roger. This is your testing time.
Of course it is. This is the crucible in which Lord Chief Justice Thursby is going to be forged.
You don't get forged in a crucible, you get melted down into a blob.
All right. Now you've had your little tea, Roger. Now let's have a bit of sense. Mm-hmm. You're just blowing up this poor judge out of all proportion. If the truth be told, he's probably a very mild, sweet-tempered old gentleman.
There's too much noise. The next person who makes an unnecessary noise in my court will be charged with contempt.
Mild, sweet-tempered old gentleman. Give me a place.
I want the prisoner to be able to hear the names of the jurors as they are sworn.
Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, would you please endeavor to make less noise?
There you are, you see. He started on it before we even began.
I would have thought that the police counsel would know better than to chatter when the jury is being sworn.
Take the book in your right hand and repeat the words on the card.
Okay. Look. You've already run him out the wrong way.
Look, look. The jury. Middle of the front row. Look. Your mother.
My mother, she's on the jury.
Good grief, that won't be allowed.
That's what she was meaning to tell me. Henry, what shall I do?
Well, you'll have to get up and object.
Yes. My lord.
Will you please wait?
But my lord.
If you don't know the rules, ask someone who does. I told you to wait once.
My lord, I...
Will you please sit down?
I want to mention...
Please sit down.
My lord!
I do not know your name, and in view of your extraordinary behavior, that does not surprise me. Kindly do me the personal favor of resuming your seat.
If your lordship please.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much indeed. Now, perhaps the swearing of the jury can be continued.
But it can't be continued, Roger. It's against every rule in the book to have a relative on the jury. Look at her. She's even waving.
My lord!
Really, this is unexampled in my... Unless you sit down at once, I shall report you to the benches of your inn, before whom it cannot have been very long ago that you appeared to be called to the bar.
But, my lord,
I order you to sit down.
I object to the juror in the middle of the front row. She's my mother.
What's his name?
Thursby, my lord.
Mr. Thursby?
Get up. Oh, he told me to sit. He'll send me to jail.
Get up, you fool.
I didn't.
Mr. Thursby.
Get up.
I told you I didn't.
Mr. Thursby. I owe you a very humble apology.
Now, will you get up? My lord?
I am extremely sorry, Mr. Thursby. By my haste, I have placed you in a position which would have been horribly embarrassing for any member of the bar, and which, for one of your... if I may say so without offense, for one of your limited experience must have been almost beyond the bearing. You dealt with the situation with a courage and a patience which I shall long remember.
Thank you, my lord.
Mrs. Thursby.
Yes, your lordship.
You had better leave the box, madam. I owe you an apology, too. And if I may say so, you have every reason for being proud of your son.
Oh, I am, your lordship, very...
Yes, Mrs. Thursby?
Am I allowed to sit somewhere else and listen?
Certainly, madam. The usher will show you where to sit.
Oh, thank you, your lordship.
Henry.
What?
Duncannon's just sent me a note.
A note? What does it say?
So very sorry. I should be so pleased if you will bring your mother to see me when the case is over.
Good lord.
What am I supposed to do about that?
Well, get up and smile at him, you know.
To show you accept.
Smile, not bigger. Yes, Mr. Thursday, are you ready to open?
May it please your lordship, members of the jury, I appear for the prosecution in this case with my learned friend, Mr. Grimes, and my learned friend, Mr. Hindmouth, appears for the defendant. Members of the jury, my client, the Reverend John Smallwood...
Mr. Smallwood is not my friend's client. He is appearing for the Crown.
A mere slip of the tongue, Mr. Hindmouth. Kindly don't make frivolous introductions.
Very good.
Yes, Alec?
Mr. Grimes is on the phone outside.
Oh, right, I'll come.
Yes, Mr. Thursby, I'd be grateful if you'd continue.
Grimes, where are you?
In a garage. They towed me here, and I'm just waiting for a hire car to pick me up. I suppose young Thursby got the adjournment, all right?
No, he was transferred to Duncannon.
Oh, good. What?
Yes, he's on his feet in front of him now.
On his feet? More like lumps of jelly. That poor old parson he's acting for.
Well, I must say, Grimes, Roger's not doing too badly so far.
Perhaps not, my dear fellow. But when he gets up against that car dealer, Spicer, that's a very smooth road, Blade Grove, very smooth. Oh, just a moment, there's a lady waving outside the phone box here. Sorry, madam, this call is important.
Don't mind, there's a baby arriving any minute.
Yeah, I'm a fool, my dear fellow, there's a baby arriving.
What? There's a what? Hello, Grimes? Hello? Now, Mr. Smallwood, is it right to say that if that man hadn't assured you that the car was in first-class condition, you would never have paid £100 for it?
Milan, that's the most leading question. Quite outrageous.
Well, not in the least outrageous, Mr. Heisman. Can you be more courteous to your learned opponent? It was rather a leading question. But the witness had already said the same thing, so Mr. Thursby was simply trying to avoid wasted time.
Isn't that correct, Mr. Thursby?
Yes. Thank you, my lord.
I wish everyone did the same, Mr. Hindmouth.
Yes, Mr. Thursby.
That is the case for the Crown, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Thursby. Mr. Hindmouth.
Mr. Spicer, please.
Take the book in your right hand and repeat the words on the card.
Didn't that sound grand, Sally? The case for the Crown. The Queen has entrusted the prosecution of that awful man to my Roger.
Yes. I should be sorry, in a way, when Roger's made a judge. I think that black gown suits him much better than a coloured one.
Oh, I think his complexion can take anything. He used to have a cornflower-coloured romper suit, and with his blue eyes, people used to stop the pram.
Now, Mr. Spicer, please tell the jury how you came to sell this car.
Oh, it's quite simple and straightforward, sir. I purchased the vehicle from a dealer colleague of mine through the trade. And when the reverend gentleman made inquiries about the vehicle, I passed on to him such technical data as had been conveyed to me by my colleague.
Did you believe what the dealer told you?
My lord, isn't that a leading question?
Don't push your luck. No, Mr. Thursby. I think that was a proper question to ask the defendant.
I'm sorry, my lord.
Not at all, not at all. What is or isn't a leading question is sometimes very difficult.
Then, if my learned friend will forgive me, I will repeat the question.
Mr. Hindmouth, Mr. Thursby is only doing his duty. There's no need to be offensive. I won't have it in my court.
If your lordship pleases. Mr. Spicer, did you believe what the dealer you bought the car from told you?
Well, of course. I knew him to be of the highest repute and integrity.
What did he tell you?
That the car was in mechanically immaculate running order, with reconditioned engine and recently relined brakes.
And you simply passed on that information?
Very proper objection. I wish everyone made their objections in such a courteous manner. You mustn't plead like that, Mr. Hamer, if your lordship pleases.
What information did you pass on to Mr. Smallwood, Mr. Spicer?
I simply passed on verbatim and in good faith the information which was given to me.
Thank you, Mr. Spicer.
Yes, Mr. Thursby?
Mr. Spicer? Mr. Spicer?
Yes, Mr. Thursby, sir, yes. I can hear you perfectly.
Behave yourself.
Mr. Spicer, you've heard Mr. Smallwood's description of his first and only ride in the car you sold him?
Oh, I have. Yes, most regrettable.
You described the car to him as being in mechanically immaculate running order. But it obviously wasn't, was it?
No, it would have appeared not, sir. It was a shock to me, sir. But the vehicle only came in that morning, so in all good faith, I merely passed on such information as had been vouchsafed to me concerning its condition by this fellow dealer.
Mr. Spicer, who is this fellow dealer from whom you bought the car?
Who is he?
Yes, Mr. Spicer. What's his name?
Oh, with all respect, sir, you seem to be suggesting that he doesn't exist.
Don't make comments. This answer counts as question.
Well, you suggested it, Mr. Spicer. Does he exist?
Of course he exists.
His name, please.
Lovey Bond. Jack Lovey Bond.
Jack Lovey Bond. Hmm. And have you an address for him?
13 Crystal Walk, Battersea SW11.
I see. Mr. Spicer, do you think we'll be able to find him at that address?
You mean today?
Yes.
No. No, he's not there today.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Do you happen to know where he is today?
Yes, he's here.
He's what?
He's out in the corridor waiting to give evidence as soon as you finish asking me questions.
Oh.
I don't think you thought I'd ever produce him, did you, sir?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact.
Well, he's here, and he'll corroborate every word I've said.
Oh. You have the man who sold you the car here?
Certainly, my lord.
And you're calling him as a witness, Mr. Hindman?
Oh, indeed, yes, my lord.
Mr. Thursby, you wish to pursue some other line of questioning?
Yes, my lord.
Don't hurry, Mr. Thursby. There's plenty of time.
Thank you, my lord. Mr. Spicer?
Yes, Mr. Thursby, sir.
Mr. Smallwood paid the whole of his Easter offering for this car.
So I've been informed.
Well, that's not my fault, isn't it, sir? It was a lot to him, £100.
Of course it was. But it's not much to pay for a car, not these days.
I suppose you're right about that.
But of course I'm right. Ask anybody. Don't need to be in the trade to know that.
But you are in the trade.
Yes, sir.
You mean that you can't expect to get much in the way of a car for £100?
Well, of course you can't.
You mean it would be absurd for anyone to expect a car to be in perfect running order with reconditioned engine and brakes newly relined when he pays only £100?
Well, have a heart. I mean, with prices as they are today.
Of course. In fact, no one outside a lunatic asylum or a vicarage could possibly think of even get a car for that price.
Oh, I couldn't have put it better myself, sir.
I take it you paid less for the car than you sold it for.
Well, that's what I'm in business for. There was nothing in it. I only made a tenner on the old transaction.
Oh, that's very fair. So you paid £90 for the car.
Right.
Have you ever been in a lunatic asylum, Mr. Spicer?
Of course not.
Or a vicarage?
No.
Then how could you believe that a car you bought for £90 is in perfect running order with new brake linings and reconditioned engines?
What do you mean?
You only paid £90. Whatever the dealer said to you, you must have known. You just admitted it yourself. You must have known that that car was a duck.
Well, I just passed on the information.
Which, on your own admission, you could not possibly have believed.
Well, just the same, I'm in business. If I'm selling something to somebody, it's not for me to cry stinking fish.
Perhaps not. But if you know your fish do stink, you aren't entitled to cry, fresh fish, are you, Mr. Spicer? Least of all, Mr. Spicer, if you happen to know that your customer has no sense of smell.
I don't feel very well, my lord. Could I have a glass of water?
Put it all except the last bit, Henry. After the jury found that man Spicer guilty, what did the judge mean when he said, I shall postpone sentencing you till the next sessions? Why did he do that?
Oh, that's rather nice. The main thing the judge wanted was for the poor old parson to get his money back. Spicer promised to repay, but what's his word worth? This way, if he doesn't cough up, he'll go to prison.
Ah, well, doesn't that bear out what I said? He's not a bad old boy at all, that judge, is he?
Oh, quite human, I suppose.
And what about Roger? Honestly now, Henry, he was pretty good, wasn't he?
Well, I hate to admit it, Sal, but that cross-examination was spot on.
Bigger, my dear fellow. There you are. We drove like lightning, but... Oh, am I too late?
Yes, it's all over.
Oh, dear, poor Thursby.
This experience will leave its mark on him, it's bound to. You'll have to be very kind to him, Sally, my dear. Sympathize and help him regain his self-esteem. Tell me, Biggles, is Duncannon savaged poor Thursby very badly?
He won, Mr. Grimes.
Won? Brilliantly. In fact, poor Thursby and his mum are at this moment taking tea with Mr. Justice Duncannon.
Do sit down, Mrs. Thursby.
Oh, thank you, Your Lord.
And you, Thursby?
Oh, thank you, Judge.
It's not the first time today that I've asked you to sit down, Thursby. I'm glad that the atmosphere this time is a little more clement.
Yes, indeed, sir.
And now that there is no case to pursue, perhaps you can remain sitting a little longer than you are permitted in court.
Yes, indeed, sir. One has had to keep getting up and down, doesn't one?
Well, make yourselves comfortable, both of you, and help yourselves to my very favorite sandwiches.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Roger, how splendid. The lemon curd.
Lemon curd?
Yes. Homemade by my sister.
Excuse me, Judge.
Yes, Thursby?
May I get up?
In our final episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Blagrove, Richard Waring, Grimes, John Glenn Jones, Sally Ann Davis, Judge Duncannon, Andrew Cruikshank, Spicer Roy Kinnear, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Hindmouth, John Baker. Other parts were played by Alan Barry, Hector Ross, and Frederick Treves. Counsel for the Prosecution was written by Frank Muir and Dennis Norton and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.